This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
So this is sort of a serious consideration. We each one has to look in our niyyah. And here, ikhlas is in the heart. It's not something that we can judge. Sometimes we can't even judge our own ikhlas. Do I have ikhlas? I think I'm doing really good in Islam. I'm doing this, I'm doing that. I don't know if there is some corruption in my ikhlas. Only Allah knows, and only Allah will reveal it on the Day of Judgment. People may have all kinds of good deeds, and we have hadith about it. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu used to faint every time he narrated this hadith. The hadith about the three people who will be brought on the Day of Judgment right in the beginning. Right in the beginning. A person will be brought who was an alim and a qari, who was recite the Quran and teach the Quran. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remind him of his favors and ask him, what did you do for me? He said, Ya Allah, I was such a beautiful qari and I did this and I taught that. For your sake, Allah will say, no, you lie. You did it so that you would be praised. People would say, oh, mashallah, what a beautiful voice, what a beautiful recitation, what a beautiful this, and you got honored. It was not for me. And will order the malaika to drag him on the face, because into Jahannam. Then a person will be brought who died in battle. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask him that I gave you all these favors, what did you do? He said, Ya Allah, I even laid down my life for you in jihad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, yes, you laid down your life, but it was not for my sake. It was because you wanted to be called, you know, brave and, a person of valor and honor and all. Put him in Jahannam. And the third person is, who will be reminded, will be said, Ya Allah, you gave me so much wealth and I gave it in all good causes for your pleasure. I spent a lot of money. Fi sabilillah. What Allah will say, no, it was not fi sabilillah. It was so that you would be recognized as being generous. Throw him in Jahannam. But this hadith teaches us that a person may do good deeds where they fool others, but they may sometimes fool themselves thinking that I'm doing it for Allah. And it's not true. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, every time we do deeds, good deeds, we should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We shouldn't feel proud about it. We shouldn't, preferably acts that don't need to be broadcast should be done secretly so that we have some ikhlas. There are certain things you have to do openly. You should be in Jummah, you should be in the masjid, and you should fast when everybody is fasting, and you go for Hajj, so you can't hide that from people, all of that. But anything extra that you do that can be hidden, you do secretly so that the niyyah doesn't get contaminated by riya, showing people and impressing people. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, worship Allah, and here worship is the big word. Not just the formal acts of ibadah, as we mentioned, the pillars of Islam, but everything else. You know, how we treat our parents, how we treat our children, how every aspect, how we learn our deen, why we learn our deen. Again, we are told that there are people who learn deen to look like they are people of knowledge, to get honor, to earn money, all kinds of things. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to always keep us humble and to keep us in a state of ikhlas for his pleasure. And anything that we have done that is without ikhlas, to forgive us for that and to make conditions conducive for us and give us opportunities to worship him and to do things that he likes without it being known to anyone. And we mentioned this, that some of the Sahaba and some of the early generations did things nobody knew till they passed away. And we talked about Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar. There is a story from a later generation that a person used to, his wife used to give him lunch every day. He used to leave home to go to work. And then one day he died, and some person came to the door and said, you know, how is he? And they said, he passed away. Why do you ask? He said, because today I didn't get my lunch. So the lunch that the wife used to give, without telling anybody in the house, he used to fast every single day. Take the lunch, give it to a poor person on the way. Wife even didn't know it. That's ikhlas. And sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exposes that afterwards to give us an example. Otherwise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have kept that a secret too. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again tells us that we have sent down the book to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in truth. So worship Allah alone by doing religious deeds sincerely for Allah's sake only, devoted to Him alone, and not to show off and not to set up rivals with Allah in worship. Ala lillahi dinul khalis. Again, the khalis. Khalis means pure. What looks on the outside is what is on the inside. You cut through it, it looks exactly the same inside as outside. That has been emptied, khalas, from every impurity. It's only pure. Okay. And here we are specifically referring to the qulub, the hearts. A heart that's been emptied of all attachments except to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially in acts of worship. Okay? And all other attachments are because of attachment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That I love my child, or I love my mother, or I love my spouse because Allah wants me to. I love my brothers in Islam because Allah likes them. Okay? So all my attachments and my love are secondary to my love and devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, indeed, لِلَّهِ الدِّينُ الْخَالِصِ. For Allah, the deen has to be, your way of life has to be pure, a pure lifestyle. Worship and all other acts of obedience. وَالَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِهِ أَوْلِيَاءَ. And how about Allah contrasts the khalis deen, pure on, with the one who take other than Allah as partners, min dunillahi awliya. They take protectors, they take helpers besides Him. So anyone who takes a partnership in one way or the other with Allah, and the people of Quraysh were also mushrik, they did believe in Allah. When they were asked who created heavens and the earth, they would say Allah. So they believed in Allah, but they did not worship Him alone. They had all these other idols. And what was their argument about it? How did they justify? And that was then, and it is today. Whether we take the Trinity, whether we take, polytheism that we see in the Indian subcontinent and anywhere else, where you have multiple gods, goddesses, deities. What is the excuse when they are asked? They say, مَا نَعْبُدُهُمْ إِلَّا لِيُقَرِّبُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ زُلْفًا. They say, oh no, we don't worship them. We have one God. We only worship Him, but we worship them because through them, they are mediators. They will take us close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they are our facilitators to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مَا نَعْبُدُهُمْ. We don't worship them, illa, except. So we have a great, great goal. We want to come close to Allah. But the ways we take is through worshipping other things. Ultimate goal is to come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَحْكُمُ بَيْنَهُمْ فِي مَا هُمْ فِيهِ يَخْتَلِفُونَ. Okay, if that's your claim, come with this argument on the Day of Judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, indeed, Allah يَحْكُمُ بَيْنَهُمْ. From people who disagree with the Tawheed, Allah will judge between the two, in what they used to differ. Because today the people will argue with you. No. This is the way. This, we are all in good. We all believe in one. But there are this way and that way. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, okay, then come on the Day of Judgment. Allah will judge between you and everything that you used to differ. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَهْدِي مَنْ هُوَ كَاذِبٌ كَفَّارٌ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, indeed, He does not guide those who are كَاذِب, which means liars, and kafar, those who deny Allah's existence and deny His favors, both. Anyone who denies the Quran is the greatest favor, anyone who denies one alphabet of the Quran is a kafar. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, Allah does not guide those who are liars, liars in every way, just common lying as well as lying against Allah, which is making up things about Allah that Allah did not authorize. And that's what many people say, oh, Allah is this, Allah is that, Allah is this. You know, this is how I see it. You know, my heart tells you, what is your heart? What kind of a corrupt heart are you coming from when Allah has told you who He is? Okay. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that indeed the religion, the way of life is for Allah alone. And those who take awliya, protectors and helpers besides Him, they say we worship them only that they may bring us nearer to Allah. Verily Allah will judge between them concerning that wherein they differ, and Allah guides not who is a liar and a disbeliever. Now, among those partners is, people have said that Allah has taken a son, and the Quraysh of Makkah used to say, Allah has daughters. That the angels are daughters of Allah. And then we have the son. You know, we have some of the groups in, among the Jews said that Uzair alayhi salam is the son of Allah. And of course we have our Christian cousins who said that Jesus is son of God. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here, because this is a Makkan surah, is telling us ahead of time about what the Quraysh said and what we will face, what they would face in Medina, which is the Jews and the Christians later on. لَوْ أَرَادَ اللَّهُ أَن يَتَّخِذَ وَلَدًا لَاصْطَفَى مِمَّا يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ سُبْحَانَهُ هُوَ اللَّهُ الْوَاحِدُ الْقَهَّارُ لَوْ أَرَادَ اللَّهُ أَن يَتَّخِذَ وَلَدًا. If Allah wanted to take a son, He could have taken anything that He created, anything He wanted, because Allah is in charge of everything. مِمَّا يَخْلُقُ, from what He created. He didn't have to take one of you, He could have taken anything. سُبْحَانَ, but Allah is not in need of any sons or children or any other partners. He is above, سُبْحَانَهُ. He is not in need, He is exalted above any such, because giving Allah a son or a partner is an insult, an abuse to Allah. Allah is above that abuse. Hu Allah, He is Allah. Al-Wahid, one. No partners. Al-Qahhar. Qahhar is the one who is overpowering, overwhelming. Again, Allah is mentioning His power. Be afraid of making such allegations that Allah has a son or a daughter or partners. Because Allah is Qahhar. Take it seriously. He is absolute in might. He can do what He wants. So, as the translation said, had Allah willed to take a son or offspring or children, He could have chosen whom He pleased out of those whom He created. But glory be to Him. He is above such things. He is Allah, the one, the irresistibly overpowering, absolute in might. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ بِالْحَقِّ يُكَبِّرُ اللَّيْلَ عَلَى النَّهَارِ وَيُكَبِّرُ النَّهَارَ عَلَى اللَّيْلِ وَسَخَّرَ الشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرَ كُلٍّ يَجْرِي لِأَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى أَلَا هُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْغَفَّارِ. And we had similar ayats in Surah Luqman that Allah created the heavens and the earth. He's saying, خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ, the seven heavens, the heavens and the earth. بالحق, in truth, there is a purpose. He is indeed, it was created in truth, it's all true, and it is truly created by Him. That's also true. And it has a purpose behind it. يُكَوِّرُ اللَّيْلَ عَلَى النَّهَارِ, and He covers and wraps the day into the night and the night into the day. The alternation of the day of the night is not by accident, this is by design of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all the forces in the universe that are put into effect so that we can have a day and night. Night for us to rest, and day for us to go out and see His blessings and earn a living and all of that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, last surah we learned, He contracts the day sometimes, contracts the night sometimes, they overpower each other. And again, the similar thing was mentioned that, وَسَخَّرَ الشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرَ, and He has subjected the sun and the moon for you, for your service, to give you accounting of time and everything else that they do. All of them will continue in their orbits, in their paths that Allah has determined, لِأَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى, till a time that is appointed. And then it will all come to an end. Okay, so everything besides Allah, as we said last time, has a time limit. It is programmed for destruction. أَلَا, pay attention indeed, هُوَ, he, Al-Aziz, again, same thing that we had in the first ayah, he is mighty. All of this is that he is describing us, look above, reflect on the heavens, is his might. And Ghaffar. Ghaffar is the superlative form of one who forgives. And Ghaffar means who keeps forgetting, forgiving, repetitive. You keep making mistakes, he forgives. Same mistake, forgive. Same mistake, forgive. Same Ghaffar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is again putting both together. His might for us to fear, so that we have fear of Allah, of disobeying Him, and Ghaffar, hope of forgiveness. So our lives and many of the ayats will be based on these two very critical feelings, emotions that we should lead our lives, which is the two wings, as they have been described, of the bird flying to Allah, the wing of hope and the wing of fear. It's not just one or the other. If you have too much hope and no fear, then you become one of those who do whatever they want and say, Allah is ever forgiving, and that is not hope. That is sort of an illusion. And someone only has fear, then he paralyzes himself from any action. Oh, I have done this mistake, now I'm done. I'm doomed. I can't do anything. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, both the wings have to be beating. Fear and hope, our life should be between fear of Allah, fear of disobeying Him, fear of His wrath, His Aziz, His Qahhar, and hope. His Rahman, Rahim, Ghaffar, Ghafoor, all of that we should keep in mind. Allah says, He created the heavens and earth in truth for a purpose. He wraps the night around the day and wraps the day around the night. And He has subjected the sun and moon, each orbiting in a fixed course for an appointed time. He is truly almighty, most frequently forgiving. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after reminding us of the heavens, He now comes to remind, looking within. He says, خَلَقَكُمْ, He created you, مِن نَفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ, from a single soul. Who is the single soul? Adam alayhi salam. Our father Adam. ثُمَّ جَعْلَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا, then from him he created زَوْجَهَا, his mate. Who is that? Our mother Hawa alayhi salam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that you all have come from a common source. Okay. Imagine the billion, 6-7 billion people's genes and genetic codes were all from that one gene pool of Adam alayhi salam, including his wife. His wife was created from him. One soul. Nafsan wahida. And then the gender differentiation took place. And then from there, the X and Y genes were created, and so on and so forth in different combinations, and all of those little, you know, amino acids were put in place, so we have different colors, we have different shapes of faces and hair and everything else, individual. Genes to determine our fingerprints, gene to determine our retinal and corneal patterns, gene to determine the individual, what you spit, because when you send for genetic testing, you send your saliva and they'll tell you what your genes are. Individual. Subhanallah. خَلَقَكُمْ مِنْ نَفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ. So just remember, all of you and all of us have genes from Adam alayhi salam. Our original genes have been passed down from loins to wombs, from loins to wombs, from loins to womb till now. And we have them. Okay? Just intermixing with different, but all from the same source. وَأَنزَلَ لَكُم مِّنَ الْأَنْعَامِ ثَمَانِيَةَ أَزْوَاجٍ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and we have sent for you 8 types of an'am is cattle, and 4 pairs. 4 pairs, male and female goat, male and female sheep, male and female cow and ox, male and female camel. Okay, 4 pairs are considered, and all of those you ride, you use milk from, you eat, and you use their skins. So they are created, anzala lakum, for you, for your service. Allah is reminding us of His favors, that I created you and I sustain you. I'm giving you provisions. Among the provision is all of this, the milk, the warmth, the food, and whatever they do for you. مِنَ الْأَنْعَامِ ثَمَانِيَةَ أَزْوَاجٍ يَخْلُقُكُمْ. And He has created you فِي بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ, in the wombs of your mothers. خَلْقًا مِّن بَعْدِ خَلْقٍ, a creation after creation after creation. From that first ovum that is fertilized, to the zygote, to the what is called the alaqa, from that to the mudga, from that, you know, from the little thing, the little clot type of thing, to that like chewed gum type of thing, to something that looks like a human being at a few months. Stage after stage after stage, till you're ready to be delivered. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, يَخْلُقُكُمْ, He creates you in the wombs of your mothers, فِي بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ خَلْقًا مِّن بَعْدِ خَلْقٍ فِي ظُلُمَاتِ الثَّلَاثِ, in 3 layers of darkness. And this is unique to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anything else anybody is creating, they need light. Allah creates in darkness, keeps it secret. 3 layers of darkness, the scholar said. One is the abdominal wall, the outer wall. Then the wall of the uterus, of the womb. And then the what contains the amniotic fluid? The placental membranes, which contains the fluid. So 1 layer, 2 layer, 3 layers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept us protected, comfortable, in darkness. Light doesn't bother you. When you have little babies newly born, you bring a light, they'll do this. Have you seen them do that? Make faces like the newborn. You bring a light, bothers them. Allah keeps them nice, quiet, dark. They're hearing the heartbeat of the mother. They're hearing other things. And if inshallah she's reciting Quran, they're hearing that. And they're enjoying in that 3 layers of darkness. Nobody knows. Initially, mother even doesn't know it's there. Till she misses her cycles and, you know, she starts to throw up. She has no idea what's growing inside. Subhanallah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us of how He created us. And just mentions butuni ummahatikum to remind us of the value of our mothers.